That was my question. Does it?
I don't know. I haven't so I don't know.
The difference is understanding and no understanding.
But you did actually give yesterday or the day before an example of how, for example, when we were talking about the Buddha's virtues and like paying respect, and you did give the example of one person who has no understanding just kind of goes through the ritual, whereas when there is some real appreciation of the values, then it can condition the manners. But if one has any expectation, then it's wrong, but there can be some influence.
There could be, depending on conditions,
yeah,
more detachment. But it depends on conditions. Yeah, you don't sort of. Yeah, it depends entirely on conditions, because there will still be conditions for anger.
Of course.
For wrong understanding, until that has been eradicated, and for major attachment. So it depends.
Queen Jonathan, would you like to talk about Vasana and Anusya?
The reason we have anger now is because anger has been accumulated as a tendency. And when anger isn't arising, it's latent. So all past moments of the different jittas and jetasikas are accumulated and carried forward. So we have accumulations for kusala tendencies and akusala tendencies. And when panya is being developed, those accumulations of the different tendencies are there still.
Mm-hmm.
And we know from our own experience in life that sometimes there are conditions for more anger or more calm than at other times, depending on a lot of factors. And the same would apply as panya is developed. The latent tendencies are not eradicated until enlightenment, and even then it's only stage by stage.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone has heard the Dhamma and understands the Dhamma, it may be a condition for their behavior to improve, but we can't say for sure, because maybe then at some stage after they've heard the Dhamma, life deals a cruel hand and they experience loss of loved ones and great sickness, so they have grief and a lot of dosa. Everything by conditions. No way of knowing, no rule about what manifests in as panya is further developed.
So maybe I rephrase my questions. Do those tendencies influence each other? So, for example, person with a strong lobha will have difficulty to develop panya, or a person with strong dosa will also have a stronger lobha. Just because of having one tendency, the other one is also stronger.
The main conditions for developing more understanding are the understanding that's previously been developed, and then hearing the Dhamma again and again. So regardless of the strength of the akusala tendencies that have been developed, there can still be the development of panya. So we shouldn't think that there has to be less akusala first, or that if we have strong akusala, there's less chance to develop panya.
But panya is kusala anyway. Just to stress the point that when there is panya, there can be can be known. Okay. Yes.
Well, I mean, on a conventional level, when you observe people and you see that somebody is very much attached to something, then also he's more, especially at the moment of attachment, he's also very prone to get angry and probably doesn't and proves to be ignorant also in a very conventional ways.
You can't know the other person. There may be understanding. If the person's heard the Dhamma, then there may be moments of awareness among the attachment and anger and agitation. But the important thing is that we can reflect on this and see if it is true or not. Because getting back to the way of knowing what the Buddha's teachings are, it can be at certain level aspects appropriate to our level of understanding, it can be verified in our own daily life. And we can see that even if there's strong attachment, there can be reflecting on the fact that that it is attachment, and that's not awareness, but it's there may be some recalling of things that we've understood at an intellectual level. Maybe I'm not suggesting that there's any necessary, or that will have any difference. Attachment keeps rising. But that's the only way for Dhammas to be understood, because if we have an idea of Kusala Dhammas, can be understood but Akusala ones can't, then there would never be the condition for our understanding of Akusala Dhammas.
This is an interesting point as well, when you mentioned that once anger appears, you might remember the teaching about anger being just a dhamma that arises and falls away
by conditions.
So this remembering itself is developing a panya again.
That would depend. You can remember that as a mantra, and it wouldn't be panya.
So, you mean like labeling wouldn't work?
It wouldn't work. I mean, well, I don't know about work, but it's not panya.
Or you could remember spontaneously on the arising, or shortly after the arising of dosa.
As by conditions.
The anger, by conditions.
So there's
all by conditions. And again, that might or might not be panya. But more chance than it would than if it was a mantra.
And in what aspect you mean by change? Manners, the way of the body, the manners of the body, or what? When you use the word change, what you mean? In what aspect?
Questions from 10 minutes ago.
Change the idea, or change what? Or the manners of speech, or what?
or different states of mind appearing?
Less anger.
No, I mean like again, less anger, less dosa.
Depending on panya. Vasatapanna, no raw view. Do you call it change or what?
Well, I meant change like different. What would be different?
Well, change of nature, because you say less anger, less attachment, so that would mean becoming calmer, a calmer person, wouldn't it?
Well, yes. So, change.
Apparent change in personality behavior.
It doesn't have to be apparent.
What about from ignorance to panya?
This is the core. Okay.
Does it have something to do with this panya make you a nicer person?
Why did I ask this question? No, really, I had a purpose in asking this question, but I really forgot. What was that?
Thanks, Jaime.
Thank you.
Conditions.
Sanya.
Well, I think the reason you asked it was because you were trying to find a link between conventional truth and absolute truth.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
And so you were wondering whether by developing understanding of Paramatta Dhammas, whether there is any change in conventional truths or conventional way of behaving.
Yes. That was the question.
Conventional way of behaving? How?
So, for example, we gave the example of going to the hospital or pouring the tea. So this is conventionally true. We go to the hospital, we pour the tea. But in terms of absolute dharmas, there are just different realities. So you are wondering whether anything changes or there's any difference. And we are saying it's just the same. We still know what a hospital is. We still know what a cup of tea is. We still get dressed. We still perform our normal tasks.
Yes.
But all those
what you call
conventional activities continue, but with more understanding of what the dharmas are.
Can I... So I'll maybe again try to ask. If I have a strong attachment to food, and then I have understanding that it's not really a beef, because I have a strong attachment to beef, and then I understand that this is seeing objects, smelling
attachment,
and this is smell and this is taste. Doesn't that make my attachment smaller?
Not necessarily.
I don't mean it's a machine that you just put one coin and then get a nice effect, but wouldn't this be a natural
side benefit?
Can we say that instead of having a kusala moment, there can be kusala moment instead? Because of more understanding.
Yes, this is what I meant.
This is the point, this is your question.
But you still like apple or cheese or as usual.
Well, I...
But you know, at that moment, that's not you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the different degree of attachment, depending on conditions for that level or degree of attachment can arise.
Think about what in the Tipitaka mentioned about the Arahata monk who already enlightened, but he still used the swear word all the time. So it's in conventional world, it's not good to use a bad word. But he is the Arahat. So the citta, his citta is there is no kusala or akusala in his citta. So it maybe it's not in the conventional world to understand why he's swearing, but in his mind, he already came enlightenment.
Pure meditation.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not go together like you want to know that there is an effect between the...
It's not a matter of some observable difference or something.
No, it's not... it's not the effect that I'm trying to achieve with Panya. My question was just a theoretical one.
Mm-hmm.
Not that... Now I see an effect of having less attachment,
mm-hmm.
and thinking, okay, how do I get more panya to get less attachment? So this is not what I've asked. Is this possible that these two would just influence each other? Or could?
Well, as Ajahn said, if there is no wrong view, then, or less wrong view, still attachment to chocolate cake or whatever one likes in a day, to sunny weather, not to rainy weather, but less and less illusion that it's me who has this attachment, or that in absolute terms it's anything other than different dharmas.
Avoid it.
Yes.
How much of what we do and feel is conditioned by conceit, generally speaking, would you say? Quite a bit.
Conceit.
Conceit, yeah, like.
Duma. Duma, substitute.
You know, like when we feel embarrassed, or we feel someone has slighted us, or we are conscious of the way we are seen by other people, who don't like to give a wrong answer, so that sort of thing.
Well, that sort of thing is quite common.
Yeah. And we mentioned that the different agusala is eradicated stage by stage earlier, and conceit is not eradicated until the final stage of enlightenment,
mm-hmm.
the arahant. So the sotapanna, Sagatagami, Anagami, they still have conceit.
I have a question about the Sagatagami that died of a broken heart. Because she stopped eating, right? She stopped eating food. Is that right? My question is, can a Sagatagami commit suicide?
Not necessary. Yeah. Anyone will die sooner or later. So the best thing is while one is still alive, developing understanding. Otherwise, more avicca and all our kuslas for next life.